We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Simon. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour, we'll be doing a rebroadcast of an interview with Rabbi Yosef Kushner, wrote a book called Internet Commerce on Shabbos. Fascinating topic. A lot of people have been at home, stuck in front of their computers. And so very apropos that we bring this one up from our Jewish Hour archives. The portion of the week is the portion of Shalach. It can be found in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, which we'll be discussing this in the second half of the show. We've got wonderful music, some really good stuff throughout the show. A really very dynamic and poignant Hasidic story. We're coming up to Gimel Tammuz, which is the Yahrzeit, give me a second, 32 years of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's passing. And so we have a Lubavitcher Rebbe story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel is hitting an emergency brake on its ongoing reopening of the economy due to a sharp rise in the rate of coronavirus infections. 800 new COVID-19 cases were reported this week compared to 300 2 weeks ago. There have been a total of 300 COVID deaths in Israel. An armed terrorist was caught trying to break into the town of Itamar. The man was arrested without incident. Hundreds of Israeli Arabs rioted in Jaffa to protest the death of a young man with special needs from East Jerusalem who was accidentally shot by police after he was suspected of being a terrorist. Police had to disperse the marchers using dispersal methods. For the second time in a month, the Palestinian Authority refused a shipment of COVID aid from the United Arab Emirates because it went through Israel. It's called biting your nose because of your face because of your nose. It's like they need it, but they're not going to get it because, I'm sure the Israelis really care. A Hasidic man, horrible news, a Hasidic man who was just minding his own business, standing on a corner, was stabbed in the head in London. The attacker was tackled by construction workers who were nearby and held for police. The victim is in stable condition with wounds to his head. And finally, the Chabad of Five Towns, Long Island, was vandalized. One person destroyed the facade of one side of the building, causing thousands of dollars in damage. Police are investigating. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Rabbi Yosef Kushner, who has written a book called Commerce and Shabbos, The Laws of Shabbos as They Apply to Today's High-Tech Business World. How are you today, Rabbi Kushner?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Thank you for having me, Rabbi Finman.
It is indeed my pleasure. This is an awesome book. I like this book very much, just to tell you. We give this book two thumbs up just before we even start. The idea of the premise of the book is like the internet and high-tech things going on, transactions involving computers. The Shabbos, the laws of the Shabbos, let's just back up and explain for people that don't know about Jewish law. The laws about the Shabbos came up 3,300 years ago. I would probably make a fair wager that the word computer doesn't appear anywhere in the Talmud. Would that be a correct assessment, Rabbi Kushner?
Yes, that would be correct.
So how is it possible then to formulate some sort of Jewish law involving a computer, electricity, the internet, all this modern stuff with which is just now coming light and is being invented?
That's an excellent question. And at first, you know, it does appear a little daunting. But the truth is that that's only, it's a mirage. We know that the Torah is timeless and it's eternal. And that govern the laws of Shabbos, which is our day of rest, they're broken down into activities which are prohibited, and those are called malachis. And at the heart of technology is electricity. And at the heart of electricity are certain dynamics that can be defined to these activities, such as when we say you can't kindle a fire, so that has already been defined to be including electricity. By early rabbis, this is nothing to do with the book. Electricity has been long defined to be part of the activities that the Torah forbids a person to engage during a day of rest, which is Shabbos.
Okay.
And we know that Shabbos for the Jewish people is the day of rest. It's a day of spiritual focus. It's a day of growth, and the Torah tells us that there are certain malachas you can't engage in. And included in that is if you can't, for example, let's say you can't build. You can't build on Shabbos. Including in that is you can't have a Gentile build for you. So and most people are familiar with these concepts. But the premise of the book is that with high-tech commerce world, which is not just limited to electricity and technology. Technology, obviously, is a tremendous part of it. But it includes everything. It includes the way, for example, hotels are run, nursing homes are run, real estate is managed. Just the way business is done today with the kind of the constant cycle, the 24/7 cycle, there are so many technical issues that are raised that there's kind of been a void in even from the rabbinical end to address these, because you have to really be aware of all the nuances to really address it. And that's really where the book comes in.
Okay, fantastic. Now, so let's discern the basis for some of the things that we're talking about. This idea of having work done, it's an interesting concept. Okay, so Jews have to rest. They have to refrain from doing malacha, doing any type of a work which is creative, but it says in the Torah, and a lot of people are very familiar with the Bible listening on this station, it says that you have to rest, your animals have to rest, your slave has to rest. The non-Jewish neighbor down the street who wants to do something for you, he doesn't say anything in the Bible about that.
Right, that's correct. So he doesn't have to rest. That's not a question. He does not have to rest. The only thing is that the Bible does say is, and the actual words is, melacha lo ye'aseh, which means it should not be done. And what that means is, and the classic commentaries like Rashi, they point that out, that from the way it's grammatically written, lo ye'aseh, you should not be done, as opposed to you should not do, it means it shouldn't be done for you. So even though a Gentile can do it, but on your end, you should not have work done for you. It's only on your end. It's not prohibiting the Gentile, but it's prohibiting the Jewish employer from having the work done by his employees.
Okay, so you have work that's done by employees. That's sort of like a where the question arises. So we have the idea of what, for example, a cleaning lady can do for a person on Shabbos. That's already discussed because 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, people had cleaning ladies. I'm not so sure about in the shtetl, because like my grandmothers used to say that they had a nice house, but every Pesach they would sweep out the old dirt and put new dirt on the floor. So I'm not sure about the cleaning ladies there. But but what if the thing is happening by itself? Which so many things that are happening on the internet, like for example, let's talk about automatic bill pay, for example. It's all set up by the computer. The machine is running. It doesn't say any place that my hammer can't do any work or my axe can't do any work. I could give my axe to somebody who's not Jewish, and just he wants to borrow it. And if he wants to use it on the Sabbath, then he's allowed to use it on the Sabbath. Why are where's the point of comparison now with, say, like a computer generated something? Are we comparing that to a person doing the work, or are we comparing that to a tool doing the work?
And that's a good question. And the truth is that you're not wrong, that many forms of internet commerce is not prohibited. And the point of this book is not to come and say everything being done online is prohibited. To the contrary, a lot of what I write surprises people in that it's not prohibited. And people have been very uncomfortable with certain elements of internet commerce, but this hasn't really been addressed straight on. And that's part of my book. We're addressing it is, for the most part, even, I could even, that's a little daring, but for the most part, internet commerce just being allowed to run on and of itself is not prohibited.
Good. I feel very relieved now.
And you should know that's an answer I get often because people, they meet me and they're like, I feel relieved. But with that said, there are many forms of commerce where people were kind of complacent and they didn't dream that there might be a problem, but there is a problem. It's been an interesting experience where a lot of what people are uncomfortable with is actually not a problem for the reasons you just laid out, because, you know, a computer is not a person, and a computer is happening, and the Jewish people have air conditioners going on and off on Shabbos. You know, if it's set to a timer, it goes on, goes off, and that's fine. And obviously, the air conditioner is not Jewish, and the air conditioner is not a Gentile. The air conditioner is not a person. So it's just your items that are working, and that's not. I mean, I say working a little liberally, but your items are doing activities, but that's not a problem at all. The problem is really only when you have employees, Gentiles, that are working. And I say that a little generally. I mean, there are specific cases where there might be problems. But in a general sense, you are correct. If there's no Gentiles working for you, you usually will not have a problem. Now, that does not include all types of internet commerce, because a lot of websites do have call centers set up, you know, as a customer service management and stuff like that, and they might have IT departments that might even be overseas, and they're paying them per hour, and there are issues there, and that has to be addressed, and there are ways to circumvent that, but there are other forms of commerce, and I'll just lay out one if I may.
Please go ahead.
Let's say real estate management, okay, and a person has a building. And we're not talking about one unit. He has a building, meaning he has an apartment building, and it could be 30, 40, 50, 100 tenants. And he's going to have a super. Now, that super is going to have to be available for Shabbos, as well as Yom Tov, as well as the Jewish festivals, as an emergency maintenance, meaning even if his office is closed and you can't, like, maybe set up to see a vacant apartment, but there's going to be a worker that needs to be available. Now, how does that work? That's an employee of a Jewish person. And Jews are not allowed to have their employees instructed to do the work on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, you know, on Saturday, on any festivals. And this makes complications. And for the most part, you know, when people find out, you know, this is a problem, they're like, oh, I'm not the only one that has real estate. You know, they have a certain reflex react, a certain knee-jerk reaction that, you know, this is almost like a Jewish industry. What are you looking at me? But this is the way it is. And when you get into nursing homes and hotels, you can only imagine, you know, these are businesses that cannot close. I mean, if you tell a nursing home they have to only operate 6 days a week, that's a worthless nursing home. It's not going to work. So this poses serious problems to how a Jew would be able to at all involve himself in these industries. And obviously to say that you know, that Orthodox Jews cannot be involved in industries would be, you know, it's a resort that you can't take because, you know, people have to earn a living and life costs money. So this is really the premise of the book. Now, it's not, even though it kind of a selling point of the book is technology, because people are very interested in that. People are very interested to you know, what about e-commerce? What about internet? What about eBay? What about websites? But the truth is, the business world in general has taken a sort of taken technology, no matter as a way to run the businesses, no matter what, and also has taken on certain forms of how they do things, just certain forms of processes, and that has to be addressed. And for for the most part, you know, it's not something that, you know, rabbis are kind of trained to know. I don't know how to say this. They're just not. I mean, by definition, you know, the rabbinical division, they're trained to know what the Torah says and what it says in the Bible and how it relates to us and the laws and everything like that. But the question is, if you don't understand how the businesses are run, then it's really very difficult to give a ruling. And that really is the point of the book, Commerce and Shabbos.
Understood. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Rabbi Yosef Kushner, who's written a book called Commerce and Shabbos. It is published by Feldheim Publishing, a very reputable corporation. So a lot of the problems then really face more the business owner than just the consumer. Would you say that's correct, Yosef?
That is correct. That definitely is correct. The consumer usually does not face these problems. We do get questions from consumers, such as, you know, they bid on something on eBay, and then they realize that the eBay auction is ending on Shabbos. And so they, what do we do? What do we do? And inevitably, they'll call the rabbi, and the rabbi might say, what's eBay? You know, but by and large, you are correct. It's more of a problem to people who have businesses.
Okay, indeed. I have a question which has been bothering me, which is sort of tongue-in-cheek, a little bit glib. But someone once explained to me that there's something called Hilchus Lottery, the laws of buying a lottery ticket.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And one of the things that this is tongue-in-cheek. One of the things he says, you only buy one ticket because if God wants you to win the lottery, then you only need to buy one ticket.
Right.
And then, of course, you don't pick out the numbers. You pick out, let the computer pick out the numbers because God's going to be the one supplying you with this number. And you don't buy a ticket if the lottery drawing is on Shabbos because God could provide your sustenance not on a Shabbos. He wouldn't be doing this on Shabbos. Is there a problem with buying a ticket for a lottery that the drawing is on a Shabbos, on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon or before Shabbos ends, because the person's not really picking up the money until after Shabbos anyway?
Right. Oh, you're like kind of putting me on the spot. I don't like to like rule on cases.
This is just point of discussion rather than an actual.
I understand. So that's my. I want to just preface. You know, before I am not. You know, everyone should ask their rabbi their opinion. But I think that it really would depend. It really would depend on when the lottery and the kind of. I don't know the process of how a lottery works. I know that when you pick it, when the drawing is, that's, you know, that's when officially you won. I understand that, but when does that? I'm assuming there probably is some sort of legal process after that, where the lottery actually validates the ticket, and they legally obligate themselves. Now, what does it mean they have to legally obligate it? What could go wrong? I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't know the rules of the lottery, but I do assume that there are people, you know, lottery people who are not even allowed to play the lottery. Maybe members of the lottery, members that are part of the lottery company, which is not a company; it's part of the government. But being that the legal obligation the lottery has to the person, and I'm taking a little liberty here, is probably a step past the actual winning of the lottery. If that would be the case, then there would not be a problem. And I'll give you an example. If you don't claim your ticket, that money's not yours. You can't come and say, well, what do you mean? It's my money. There's actually a process that goes to getting the money. Now, you have a right to get the money, but it's not your money. So I think we probably could agree that there is no transaction. There is no transaction that actually takes place on Shabbos. So what happens on Shabbos, on Saturday, is you earn the right to make a transaction and to legally obligate them. And like I said, I believe there's even a window of opportunity that if it goes by, you can't even claim it after.
Right, it's after a year generally.
Okay, there you go. So now what does that mean? It's my money. You can't steal my money. And the answer is it's not your money yet. You have kind of a right to get the money. This is what I'm saying off the top of my head, if that solves your...
Okay, fair enough. I mean, it's the whole concept of laws involving lottery or somewhat, you know, but...
Right. And it's funny you ask that because, in a way, it's similar to, like, to eBay. When you win on eBay, there is no transaction. There is no transaction. And what it is you enter into agreement to make a transaction. And eBay itself and the contracts are very clear about that. That you have to complete the sale. And by definition, that means that the sale has not been completed. And the reason why it's not been completed is because, obviously, you haven't paid for it and you haven't received anything. And therefore, for that reason alone, the Jewish law would not prohibit someone to simply win an auction. Now, there might be exceptions to that. If you would sell on eBay and you would end the sale on Shabbos, meaning the auction is timed to end on Shabbos, and you would write that you require immediate payment. So that might be a problem because this is not just you and him kind of having an agreement to make a transaction. You're actually mandating the transaction to happen on Shabbos, and that's a problem. And when I say it's a problem, I mean you should speak to your rabbi about you know how to go about doing that. But that's I'm just kind of bringing awareness that might be a problem.
Understood. The Jewish Hour has a website, as part of a website, and we have a donations page. People make donations, in my opinion, not enough, so all those people listening should go now to the computer and make a donation to the Jewish Hour. We are listener-supported radio.
Right.
Somebody who is not Jewish decides on a Saturday afternoon, oh yeah, we got the Jewish Hour, let's go make a payment to them, so they go to the website. The website then immediately, since they hit donation page, they're immediately switched to PayPal. And then they make the donation, and then PayPal sends me a notification saying that so-and-so has made a donation to the Jewish Hour. Have I violated the Shabbos because somebody did that, Rabbi Kushner?
So you for sure haven't violated it yet. Because if someone pays you, if someone just gave you money, that you haven't violated yet. But let me just give a little of a background to your question because people might not be familiar with where you're going. There's a concept called Schar Shabbos. And Schar Shabbos means profiting from Shabbos, which means profits and revenues that were created on Shabbos, that were kind of received on Shabbos, is not allowed to be retained. You're not allowed to hold that money. Because I don't want to, you know, bore everyone with the technicalities, but that's the law. The law is one is not allowed to receive profits on Shabbos, and there are exceptions, and there are a lot of rules on this, and there's no way we can cram this into this interview. But that's the premise of your question. And so your question is, people go on to your website, and then you receive donations for Shabbos. Are you allowed to receive that? Now, when you ask PayPal, you're asking specifically PayPal as opposed to a credit card? Let me just clarify that.
Well,
that's just the way it works.
I just have PayPal.
You just have PayPal. Because it would actually be a lot better if it was a credit card. Credit cards take a few days to come in.
Well, that would just back the question back up to Wednesday or Thursday then.
So, no, because Shabbos, actually, nothing's processed. It would come in on Monday.
Uh-huh. Okay, fair enough.
You would probably be in the clear if it was... so you actually stumbled on a good one, where if it would be a credit card, I would have had an easier time answering you. With PayPal, it's a tough one. It is a tough one. Now, the only question to you is as follows. Do you see... Is there like a middleman that, like, is it going straight to you, or is it kind of you receive them in bulk, like once a week? How does that
actually I get an alert from PayPal that so-and-so has made a donation. At that point, what I have to do is if I want to do anything with it, well, there's one or two things I could do. Either I could buy something using my PayPal account, or I could request the money be transferred to a bank account, which is generally what happens to go to pay
so
the...
That's where I was going. I really don't want to get very technical, but generally speaking, PayPal is holding your money. Okay, and when we say that, means it's actually technically not your money yet. When money in your account is your money, even though it's kind of the bank, but that's backed by the federal government, and that is your money. PayPal is actually not a bank. They're not legally a bank. And so what they are is someone else. They're a third party. And someone basically has, when we break it down, and this is really the whole, this is really, if you go through the book, this is where, you know, things get interesting, because we have to really break it down into how the Torah looks at it. And the way the Torah looks at it is as if you, Rabbi Finman, have someone else, a third party, who received money that he is going to give to you. Okay? Now, there's a basic concept, like we said, of Schar Shabbos, that you can't receive profits from Shabbos. But that is only if the profits that you get is only for Shabbos. So let's say you have a tenant that gives you money for the whole month, pays you for the month. Now, it's obviously 30 days. Some of those days are Shabbos. That's not prohibited, because that's not money that we look at as Shabbos money. That's general money. Now, in there, it kind of is some of the money is Shabbos, but that is not prohibited. Prohibited is only, it would be an example, is if you have a parking lot that you charge per hour. So a guy pulls in on Shabbos with his car, and he pays for 2 hours. Now, that payment that you got is only Shabbos money. Okay, that's the general background. Now, if PayPal receives a week's worth of money, and then they forward it to you, kind of, you make a transfer to your bank account in one bulk, so there is the point when you receive the money. And since that's the case, it is, in a way, it's similar to you being a landlord and receiving a month's rent.
Understood.
Now, this is again, this is general. There might be problems, because maybe if when they send you the money, they break it down how it is. Again, I'm trying to just being general and giving you an idea of, we're trying to demonstrate how these questions are approached and what we try to do to break them down to way that, you know, the Torah, the Bible would see it. And then there would be a lot of times, and people don't realize, a lot of times it's not prohibited, but you just have to know why. And if you know why, you'll also be on guard to know, you know, other cases where there might be a problem and what has to be done. And a lot of times it might be a little inconvenient, and sometimes not even a little inconvenient. But it's really all about awareness. You know, in general, I would be very hesitant, to give a book that has, you know, rulings, simply because every case is different. Every case is different, but, you know, there's always
there's always nuance. Yes, indeed.
There's always nuances, correct. But if you know principles and you understand the general underlying for these laws, you really are empowered. If you don't want to make rulings, you know, maybe you shouldn't, but you're empowered to ask the right questions. And that's really what I think is probably most important about the book.
Okay. So now, if you feel that I'm talking to the listening audience now, if you feel this is somewhat a little bit technical and involved, then you need to read the book. So that's why we're having this on, because there's things going on there that you might not even be aware of. And it's ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is just plain ignorance. Knowledge is power. So our guest has been Rabbi Yosef Kushner. The book is Commerce and Shabbos. It's from Feldheim Publishers. It's available on Amazon, wherever fine Jewish books are sold. It makes a great Hanukkah gift, by the way, if you know anybody who needs a Hanukkah gift. So, Yosef Kushner, I want to thank you very much for coming on, taking up some of your time, and enlightening us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Encompass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Yes, if you're showing signs of corona, know someone who is showing signs, you want to call Encompass Head to the Care. Ask for Dr. Bruce Rubin. The number is 248-624-9800. He has helped hundreds of people in the last few months with this problem. up. For your listening pleasure, this is Avram Fried, brand new, Yedid Nefesh, which means the my soulful friend, and it refers about the relationship between God and the Jewish people. We say it on Friday afternoons, right before the Sabbath. Let's give a listen.
שיר זה הלחין המלחין הגדול יוסי גרין ועוד כמה. ידיד נפש, ידיד נפש, משויך עבדך אל רצוי נחו. Yedid nefesh, yedid nefesh, oh, rachamun, mishoich avdechu, el ritzoynechu. Ay, 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 yoru tzavdechu. Eze yofi. El molado morejo yeme verabloi yerablo moye dido ise yu mi noi fest ve khomo vole tu.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. It's still wedding season. Thank God people are getting married. Lots more people are getting married. The more weddings, well, I guess the happier we'll all be. This song is called a Klezmer Wedding Medley. It's from, believe it or not, the Moldavian Klezmer Band. It's just for you. Thank you. Moldavian Klezmer Band. I hope you enjoyed it. Up next, this is Chaim Israel. He's an Israeli singer. My real name, Chaim Israel. That's great. It's Mitoch Tamimot, which means everything's got to be done with sincerity.
יצאנו אז אל המדבר וראינו הקולות לכל אחד היה מקום לעלות במעלות ומאז מדור לדור הנשמות רק מבקשות ומנגנות את הניגון נה 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 מתוך תמימות אז תדבר עם אלוקים הוא מחכה לתפילתך הוא האחד והיחיד שמרפא אותך נמצא איתך אז תדבר עם אלוקים גם אם תחשום ללא מילים שקצת נשבר תזכור שאולד נשאר והוא קצל שומר דואג עוטף אותך ברחמיו אז תדבר עם אלוקים הוא מחכה לתפילתך הוא האחד והיחיד שמרפא אותך נמצא איתך שום ללא מילים ותנגן לו בתמימות נה 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 נה
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Finman, here you are, listening to the Jewish Hour. This week, we read the portion of Shelach. It is found in the book of Numbers at its chapter 12 and following. And most of the portion, chapter 13 and following, most of the portion, or a good portion, the portion is mostly known for the story with the spies and the bringing back the bad report and the Jews winding up wandering around in Israel in the desert for 40 years. At the end of the portion, there's a total digression. Once we get done with the spies, the portion just takes a total left turn, which we could ask, why does it take a left turn over here? But we're not going to go into that right now. One of the things which is discussed is what happens if a person accidentally worships an idol. Now, what does accidentally worship an idol mean? The person doesn't know that there's such a thing called idolatry, or the person knows there's such a thing called idolatry, but the person doesn't know that that which they're engaging, that act, is idolatry. Like, for example, something that could happen in modern day. Person attends a lecture. That's a lecture on mindful meditation. And this person's got anxieties and is not just a calm person, doesn't sleep well. So they figure, you know, I'll go check it out. And so what are they doing is they're told, listen, you have to think this way and you have to say this word and we'll get you to sit down and you can put your head down in front of this statue or this person sitting on this throne or whatever it happens to be. And the person's just going along with it and, you know, doesn't think too much of it and didn't think to, you know, this person, I would never worship an idol, but doesn't know what they're doing is called idolatry. Now, in Judaism, there is, if you look at Jewish law, there is nothing antithetical in Judaism as much as idolatry. In fact, Judaism is defined as a monotheistic religion. And anything that has to, that even slightly smacks of pluralism, is totally and completely and utterly forbidden. And so what happens now with this person? I mean, a person who is guilty of intentionally worshiping idol. I know this is an idol. I know I can't worship idols. And I'm going to worship this idol. That person's killed. This is serious stuff over here. We don't want that type of thing hanging around, that type of attitude being around in our neighborhood, because what will happen to Judaism if you suddenly introduce plurality into it? Not Judaism anymore. So, but this person did it accidentally, unintentionally. Didn't know. So unlike American law, where ignorance is no excuse for, you know, for perpetrating a violation of the law, in Judaism, ignorance is. The Almighty understands, listen, I know sometimes people make mistakes. The person was anxious. He wanted to learn how to calm down. And did this person learn how to calm down? Yeah, the person learned how to calm down. That's all very well and good. Comes now, what do we have to do? What does the Torah tell us he has to do? He has to bring a sheep. So you think, that's it. The person was engaged. Okay, he didn't know. And the greatest violation of Judaism. And what does he have to do? He has to bring a sheep. Okay, now, it's very simple to understand all this. Because the Almighty's not into barbecue. He's not, God could really care less about the sheep. But rather, it's the person now realizing, listen, I did something which violated the very core of Judaism. And I want to correct it. I would never do such a thing. Had I known, I never would have done it. So the Almighty understands that and says, okay, you know what? We're not going to ask you to jump off bridges. We're not going to ask you to donate millions of dollars to charity. We're going to ask a little thing. Because what's big is not the sheep. What's big is what's going on in a person's heart. Nowadays, we don't offer sacrifices anymore. There's no temple, there's no altars, we're not allowed to offer sacrifices. We don't have that vehicle, but what we still do have are our hearts. And that's where the main thing was together. So if a person realized that they've been doing something which is akin to taking them away from their Judaism, and we're talking anything. The Alter Rebbe in Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, basically writes that if it is in violation of the Torah, it's basically akin to idolatry. Because it's a violation of God's will, it's antithetical to God's will, and idolatry is akin to God's will. This is basically this person worshiping an idol. So whatever it is, a person, okay, you could say, listen, I didn't know. But right now, the person knows. And now the person needs to put their heart back in the right place. Like the last song from Chaim Israel said, it has to be with Tamimus. What are we looking for? We're looking for earnest people. We're looking for people to be solid in their approach to Judaism. That's what the Almighty is looking for. Okay, he's not looking for major. It's looking for every little tiny step. And so today, every one of us needs to do a little tiny step towards getting closer to God. We are going to take a quick commercial break as we're getting closer to the end of the show. Don't go away. We've got a wonderful story coming up. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Compass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. I got a public service announcement for you. Just came across my desk. Between June 6th and June 9th, new U.S. cases rose 36.5% from the average number of new cases. CDC documents shows most other countries are less than 5% of the same period. Wear your masks at all times when you're out of the house. Wash your hands frequently and keep 6 feet apart from distancing. These are life-saving precautions. You really can't be too careful. The sun's out. It's warm. People are outside. But you still got to use your head, and you still got to use your mask, and still got to stay away from people. So you want to get in touch with me? This is how we end the show. Yeah, go to rabbifinman.com and you'll find a way to contact us, and you'll contact me, I'll contact you. There's also archived editions of the show on RabbiFinman.com. You can listen back for the last 3 years or so. There's different ways in which we present Judaism in an interesting and exciting way. There's also the most important donation pages. I can't stress it as much as I could like to stress it. We're in the middle of the month, and the money is not coming in. The last couple of months have actually been pretty decent. March, April, May. People understand, and they've been giving. Even if you're giving, if you're giving $20, and that's fine. That's, you know, it helps a lot, believe it or not. Go to RabbiFinman.com. If you want, be lazy, you can go to RabbiFinman.com, and if you have a PayPal account, which you can set up a PayPal account really easy too, then you hit reoccurring payment, and it just happens all by itself. You don't even have to think about it. It's a great thing. Don't like internet giving? Understood. Send your donation at any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. The story involves a gentleman whose name is, Yosef Malavny. He is the cantor for the Fifth Avenue Synagogue and has been the cantor of the Fifth Avenue Synagogue for 1973. It's an amazing that he's still there. So he got very close to the rabbi because he was chosen to go to Russia when Russia was just opening up back in Perestroika and Glasnost and whatnot, and sing Jewish music concerts. And the Rebbe gave him all kinds of instructions. He did all kinds of things that he did. The Rebbe was very appreciative of what he did for Russian Jewry. And so it happened, the Rebbe on Sundays during the last years of his life, the Rebbe would give out dollars and blessings. The dollars were to go to charity, and the blessings were for the person's blessings. So in December, he and his wife went to the Rebbe and to ask a blessing for their son, Zevi, who they had left actually in London because he was severely autistic. And there was a very good kosher Jewish group home for autistic children. So they asked a blessing, and the Rebbe responded, listen to this. Being autistic doesn't mean that they can relate, that they can't relate to anyone, the Rebbe said. To people they can't relate, but to God they can relate as everyone else, and even better. While they're not busy with people, they're busy with God. So he said, that was a revelation to me. But he recalled he once tried teaching Zevi a blessing, and Zevi could repeat it. And then the Rebbe asked him, does your son have a charity box in his room? When he said he doesn't, the Rebbe instructed that they put a charity box in the child's room. They said that, and if the Rebbe said, I'll even give a dollar, that they should put a dollar in the charity box as well. So it says the charity box had a wonderful effect on Zevi, and he began to responding to people, and he began, when people would come into his room, he would say, put money in the charity box. And they reported this to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, here is another special dollar for this. And this is understanding that people, they're all different from us, and they relate differently to the world, but God made everybody the way God wants them to be, and every person is a special person. And we all have our unique relationship with the Almighty. We just have to learn how to develop it. Tony, if you want to bring up the music behind me, please. And I thank you all for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a wonderful week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
בשעור שאמרו ישראל, אמרו נעשה ונשמע.